The following lecture by Imam W.D. Muhammad is the 1997 Islamic Convention, Juma, held in Secaucus, New Jersey, on August 29, 1997. It is being brought to you by the online Yahoo group, the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Please visit us in the Yahoo groups today.
La ilaha illallah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu wa nu'manu bihi a'azza wa jal. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad, the prophet, the messenger of God, the messenger of Allah, as a mercy to all the world. Rahmatan lil alamin. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. You have not been sent except to be a mercy to all people, to all worlds, to all the world. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Most High and Glorified, also says of Muhammad that he is an unlettered, the unlettered prophet from among the unlettered, from among the Ummiyin, the Ummiyi prophet, from among the Ummiyin, the unlettered prophet from among the unlettered. We find two explanations for that expression. Among the leading educated imams, leaders of Saudi Arabia, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, we hear them referring to themselves as the people of the mother community, or the mother town, Umm al-Qura, the mother town. And they give this explanation, that the reference to our prophet, the messenger of God, as the Ummi means that he is from that town and that they were from that town. But we also have a more popular explanation by persons who have written on that topic, Muhammad as an unlettered person. From among the scholars and also translators of Quran into English and other languages, giving this explanation, that he is the prophet mentioned in the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians that came before the Quran, as one being like Moses, Musa, upon the prophet's peace. And that the reference to him as Ummiyi means that he was not educated. He didn't receive formal education. and therefore he was unlettered. That doesn't mean that he couldn't write his name or he couldn't write a nice letter. It doesn't mean that he couldn't read ordinary handwriting or ordinary literature or ordinary script. It's to be understood in the context of scripture. Being unlettered or unable to read means he was not schooled in religion, and therefore he was not able to read scripture. He didn't have any scriptures before, and the Arabs didn't have scriptures before, and Allah mentions that in the Quran, that there are people to whom no messenger had come before, meaning that they didn't have scripture or religion proper. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord, sustainer of the world. And the peace and the blessings be upon Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, the last prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of him again in the Quran, saying that he is the liberator, mentioned in the scriptures that came before, mentioned in the Old Testament, as one coming to take from the people the heavy yoke of oppression that weighs them down their back, and to break every bond of slavery. That he is that one, the liberator promised in the Old Testament. There's a reference in the Bible to the time of illiteracy, a time of illiteracy, when people would not be able to read a particular book. The Bible says that this book would come into the hands of someone, and that someone would try to read the book and would not be able to read it. And that person would take the book to someone to get help. And the Bible has that person taking the book to someone and presented the book and said, will you read this for me? And that person replied, I'm sorry, I can't read. I'm not one of letters. Then the person goes on and finds another person and asks, will you read this to me? And the second person replies, no, I cannot read it. It is sealed. It's locked against me. The meaning is shut out, are locked against me. I'm shut out of the meaning because I don't have the key for interpretation. There's still another reference, but it would only put more confusion in the air from the Bible. So I won't give you that one. But I know some of you preachers sitting down there, you're aware of another one. Praise be to Allah. We know that Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia, who brought the Quran, is the prophet promised in the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. We know that. We know he is the uneducated, untaught man that God chose to reveal his word to and to educate him himself. God taught Muhammad. God educated Muhammad. We know that. We are convinced of that without any doubt whatsoever. We know that. Praise be to Allah. Muhammad the prophet is referred to as a mortal human person. God says, if the earth has been populated with angels, we would have sent, that is, God would have sent the earth community of humans, an angel as messenger This is the word of God in Quran. But no, we are a community of mortals. We are a community of human beings. We are not angels. Human beings are not angels. Human beings are human beings. And God says, so I send you a human, a mortal, as a messenger. And God says again of Muhammad the prophet, the mortal, human person, just like we are. God says that he is a mortal human person just like you. Meaning that he's not, as it was claimed before the Quran, that some mortals, yes, they were true mortals, but on the other hand, they were also angels. Or yes, they were true mortals, but at the same time, they were divine. At the same time, they were God. Or he was a God. And a human person at the same time. To make it very clear that no such claim is made for Muhammad's being, for his human makeup and identity, God says to us very plainly, "Huwa basharun mithlukum." He is a mortal human person, and that's not enough. God didn't stop there. He could have stopped there. He could have said, he's a mortal human person. That would be enough, maybe. But no, it's not enough, because some claim that certain ones were not only human, they had the both natures. They had the human nature and divine nature. They were human and God all in the same time. All in the same person. All in the same time. All in the same person. So to correct that and do away with it for all time, God says of him, identifying Muhammad, the last prophet, not the last messenger, as I hear sometimes, the last prophet. God says of the last prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is a mortal human person just like you, mithlukum, like you, in your image, in your likeness, in your nature. That's what it means. Without that pacification for Muhammad, the last prophet, all the prophecy would be wrong concerning the last prophet, concerning the fulfillment of God's promise for human community on this earth, or either that last prophet would be himself a counterfeit, the wrong person. So he is immortal just like us, and he's not educated in the schools of this world. He was not tutored by the teachers of this world. Only by God. Only by God. As a sign and as a proof that God, who created everything and gave everything its constitution and its possibility, can teach a human person himself and qualify that human person to be the teacher for all people. For all people, for all time. For all people, for all time. Praise be to Allah, the Most High, the Glorious, the Generous God, the All-Knowing, who has power over all things. Then he says of him, he is a mercy to all the world. He's not one of your sons. He's not one of your sons. S-O-N-S. But he's the messenger of God.
And he has not been sent except to be a mercy to all people, to all worlds. To the Greeks, to the Romans, to the Egyptians, to the Chinese, to all the world, to America, to all the world, to the world of science, to the world of spirituality, to the world of politics, government, a messenger to all the world, the teacher, the community leader, the teacher and the community leader. Praise be to Allah. Such a person, created by God Himself, made by God Himself for His job in this world, would have to have a situation for building a model world, a model world, as a message and a testimony to all the world that yes, this is the one. Look at his history. And such person would have to be free from all authority being over him except God. So his own town wanted to give him a restricted freedom, a limited freedom, a great amount of freedom, but determined by their interest under their authority. So they offered him the prettiest women in the tribe. They offered him wealth and money without measure. And he gave the reply, "If you could put the moon in one of my hands and the sun in the other, it wouldn't change me." And then God sent the word of him, speaking to him, "Anta hurrun bihadha albalad." You are a free man in this town. God said to him, "You're free." You know, we can say you're free, but we determine the meaning of free and the limits of the freedom. But when God says you're free, you're really free. And sahurum bihad al-balad, you are a free man with this town or in this town. Praise be to Allah. So he authorized, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authorized by God, finally got the situation for establishing the Ummah of al-Islam, the Ummah of al-Islam, in Medina. The city was already there, and the city was already in Scripture. Don't think Medina is not in the Old Testament. The city was already in Scripture. And also Mecca is in the Old Testament, called Bekka. It's given the image of a woman. Bekka. Mecca was called Bekka and still is called Bekka in some rare situation. It is called Bekka even today. In fact, it's mentioned as Becca. Yes, to us the Muslims, it's mentioned as Becca. The Bible calls her Becca crying in the wilderness. Crying in the wilderness for her children. Yes, praise be to Allah. Yes, He was persecuted, as you know, by his fellow citizens. He was a legitimate citizen, child, born in Mecca, legitimate son of Mecca. But the Meccans persecuted him because they were disturbed by the message that God had given him. So disturbed that they thought they couldn't tolerate him having freedom. So they tried to boycott him and prevent him from being free to deliver the message. They boycotted him and caused the death of his wife, his first wife, really the wife of his young years, the wife of his youthful years. He didn't have a wife in his youthful years except Lady Khadijah. May God be pleased with her. Radiallahu anha. Yes, she died because the conditions were too severe for her. So she got cold, caught cold, and weak, and resistance was so weak. The food was so scarce. They were just on the border of starvation. So we lost, Lady Khadijah, radiallahu anha. Yes. So he suffered persecution. And finally, among the pilgrims who came to join him and his following that he had attracted to the religion, to God and to the religion, for the pilgrimage to the Holy House in Mecca. They came from Medina to make the pilgrimage with our Prophet and the followers of Medina, of Mecca. And they approached the Prophet and they told the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we want to invite you to our town. There you will find support for your message, He listened to them, and after a while, he decided he would accept their invitation. He accepted their invitation and escaped to Medina. I said escaped because history tells us that the Meccans, when they learned of that, they wanted to kill him before he got to Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran how God protected him with the flimsy protection we call a spider web. He was with his companion, Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa. May God be pleased with Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. And they came to a cave. They knew the Meccans were pursuing them, close on their heels, close behind them. And they saw this cave, and the Prophet suggested that they go in this cave and hide there. While they were in the cave, a spider, this is Quran and this is history. The spider weaved the web over the mouth of the cave. When the enemies were trying to catch him to kill him and his companion arrived to that location, one of them looked at the mouth of the cave, the little small mouth of the cave, and thought that they should investigate, see if anyone was hiding in there. And the other one said, oh, there's a spider web over it. No one has ever gone in there. Because it's just automatic. It's the habit of the mind that once you see a spider web somewhere, you think no one has been disturbing that place for at least a long time. But a spider, a good spider, doesn't take him but a few hours to weave a very big web. So, and I'm sure the spider had good time to weave that web. And the fresh web looked old. You've never seen a spider web that didn't look old. The fresh web of a spider looked old. Praise be to Allah. So God protected his messenger, protected the last prophet, our prophet. Our prophet. What do I mean when I say our prophet? Say that I am a mortal person, just like you, and a Basharun Mithlukum. That's the explanation for us saying our prophet. He doesn't belong to the jinn. He doesn't belong to the angels. He belongs to us. Our prophet. And Muslims all over this world, they refer to him as my prophet, our prophet. When they say Nabi, if it's a Muslim, you know they talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say my prophet. If they say Nabi, our prophet, nobody knows but who they're talking about. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Prayers and peace be upon him. A moral human person just like us. The first one with his image made so clear that we don't have any doubt and any guessing to do. Whether he was part angel or part jinn or part this or part that. All human. And that's what the human community has to have. A leader that's truly human. If we don't have such a leader, we will put up excuses before Allah, Ta'ala, on the day of judgment. Say, God, yes, he was the great man. I found no flaw in him. But I couldn't follow him because I'm human and he's divine. You stop on that and think on that, baby. Please, hold it right there for a minute and think on that. I'm going to give you a minute to think on that. I wish I could give you an hour. In the judgment before God Most High, if God would question us, how come you didn't follow this man and do as he did? How come you couldn't be like him? We say, God, you didn't make me like him. You made me all human. And you made him human and divine. And what answer would God have? None. God is perfect. God would have to say, you excuse. No punishment for you. You had the wrong example. You had the wrong mentor. You had the wrong guy. So I excuse. My fault. But that's not the case. And that's why the last revelation of the Quran makes it very clear to us that God never sent a man as a messenger from himself, as a servant from himself to anybody that will see other than a mortal human person. They see, they had to walk in the mountains like you, they had to eat the food and drink what you eat and drink, they had to survive just like you survived. So should that be a question that they were any other than mortal? Human, just like you? Never did God have a female companion. And he says again to us very clearly, when he wants a son, he takes one from the men he's already created. Say, here's his all power. He creates what he wills. He creates what he wills. So was there a man ever upon this earth who never had a human father? Only had a human mother? Yes! How did he get here? God says, whenever he wants, he creates one from among those he's already created. There's a quick box. And this is the most sacred day for the Muslim. It is Jumu'ah, the day of the coming together of the people. That's what it is, the day of the coming together of the people. The most sacred day in the year for Muslims. Yes, that whenever he wants a son or a person for his service, a male, he creates him from among those who are. Now there's a claim that a certain man that was on this earth before our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then this man, upon him deceived, that this man, the charge is that this man was the Son of God, was the Son of God. But the same scripture and the same foundation, the same basis from which they take that idea, the idea is there also that you trace his genealogy back to a mortal human person, back to Adam, back to Adam. And his genealogy, genealogy means how he came here, how he came here, what flesh he came through, what flesh he came from. That's what genealogy means. So the Bible says, the same Bible, same text from which they get the idea, the same text says his genealogy, his gene, his biology, his flesh is traced back to one ancestor, to another, to another, to another, until it comes to the first man created by God, Adam, upon him be peace. Should I say more? No. No, for what? Not a person sitting on that floor, too dumb to get everything I said. You might be not ready to get everything I said, but you sure in the heck ain't too. You're not too dumb. You're smart enough to get everything I said and get it clear. And if it's enough for you, it's enough for the world. Because you're the best sample of the world's people that I can think of. You're crazy as hell and smart as hell at the same time. You are as real as heaven and as false as hell. At the same time. So if you understand, everybody else will. This is important. This is not only important, this is a must. It's a must that we understand the person of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His person is so significant. His person is so crucial for the work of building the Ummah of Al-Islam, the model community, a witness to the world, what God wants for human society on this planet. Medina Munawwara. That's an additional name was given to it. Why? Because God gave the revelation, the last revelation, the Quran, the last scripture. God gave it to the human person called Muhammad. He also called Ahmed. They called him Ahmed and Muhammad before he became prophet. Before God called him to be prophet, he was called Ahmed and Muhammad and Ahmed. And Muhammad was a new name among the Arabs. So the family would be asked, where did this strange name come from? We don't know of his name. It came from Scripture. It came from Scripture. Scripture promises that there would come one who would have faithful and true inscribed into his thigh. Not literally. It has to be understood what it means. He would have faithful and true inscribed into his thigh. And the scripture says over and over again that one is coming like David. Yes, the Jews knew about this prophecy. They were expecting one to come like David. So when Jesus came upon him, be peace according to their tradition, they said, we, are you the son of David? The man we expecting, he's like David. Upon the prophecy, peace. And what was David? David was the prophet of the Psalms. And what are the Psalms essentially? Praise of God. Praise of God. The praise of God. Muhammad means one who praises God. And because he praises God so perfectly, people praise him. Isn't that wonderful? Don't get tired. We're in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness. And we can't go back to Egypt. But don't get tired. Egypt was one big lie in our life. We can't go back there. I know you're kind of hungry and lonely from out here in the desert, but there's no place to go until the 40 years are up. So we better get it together. Praise be to Allah. Yes, I'm talking to my close friend. Not that all of you are not my close friends. In my heart, all of you are my close friends. But some I have an association with. And they have proven to be my close friends. See, that's the test, right? The prophet said to some people who were facing a certain person, they didn't even know him. He said, yes. He said, have you had some dealings with him? Have you had any dealings with him? They said, no. He said, well, then you don't know him. Yes. Now, I said, this identity of Muhammad that God gives us in the Quran, and Muhammad's own life testifies to that identity. Yes, he lived that way. He lived as a common human being lived, but in perfection. Even perfection. He was perfect as a human creation. He lived as a common human person. He had no camel caravan that was just for him. In modern language, he had no fleet of Mercedes, or town cars, Lincoln town cars. He had nothing like that. He didn't have a wardrobe that had to be carried by other persons. He carried no more clothing than ever required for him to stay clean and neat. He carried his own clothing all the time in traveling. There was never too much baggage that he had to have somebody come and help me carry my things. That's the man we are talking about. That's the man that took the moon with God's revelation showing me the light away from my father, who was the most powerful black man in America. And that's not my word. That's Reader's Digest word. During the time of his life, they said the most powerful black man, Reader's Digest, that is French, the most powerful black man in America. Yes. So no ordinary man could take me away from my father. No extraordinary man could take me from my father. Only God's perfect man could take me from my father. Again, Muhammad is the answer to that need that was in our life as a people, as a human community. He's the answer that was in our life, that need that was in our life, for a model to look at that is perfect. Perfect model to look at. When a teacher is teaching his students how to write, that teacher wants to give that student a perfect handwriting. A perfect handwriting. A perfect penmanship. So that student will not copy any flaw, any mistake. The same thing is required in our life. We need to know what is the perfect human that God wants. So we will know how to judge how far we have come, or how far we should go with the work, with the modifications on our own life, with the alterations on our own life. We need to know when I have done enough to please God. And am I doing it right? Should I have three creases in my pants or two? Am I doing it right? Praise be to Allah. So Allah had to answer that. And Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, he came here as a sign that one day God is going to establish very plainly for you the perfect creature, the perfect creation that you should follow. If we can't see Muhammad, we can't see the Ummah. To understand what this community, world community, our international community of Muslims, faithful people believing in Allah, calling themselves Muslims and believers, to know what that community is, how that community should be built, what that community should be to us and to outside, we have to know clearly what Muhammad is and what he is to us and what he is to outside. That's a must. Medina is a city. Al-Munawwara means lit up, bright, shining, shining, shining city with the light of revelation. Shining with the light of revelation. Now the old scripture speaks of New Jerusalem, doesn't it? A New Jerusalem. A Jerusalem that will be shining with the light of revelation. The light of God. The light of his word. Where is that New Jerusalem? Where will we ever find that New Jerusalem? Nowhere but Medina. Medina in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the New Jerusalem. But where is the Quran text for that, brother Imam? And where is the hadith for that, brother Imam? Check your own self out, brother, whatever your name is. And try to get as much knowledge as God has blessed me with, and you wouldn't have to ask such questions. Jerusalem is not necessarily a piece of physical geography. Jerusalem is a blueprint, a model design to be put somewhere. And we hope that the whole world of mankind will become New Jerusalem. The word is peace. Jerusalem, salam, a city established in peace. Jerusalem, established in peace. Praise be to Allah. So you've noticed now that I begin this khutbah with Muhammad. With Muhammad. Attention on Muhammad. On his identity. On him. So we will know him in scripture. And also as a human person. Next, we want to go to the religion, Islam. Al-Islam. Al-Islam. God says of Al-Islam that it is Deen al-Fitra. Deen al-Fitra. Fitra-tillati-fatra-n-fitra-tillati-fatra-n-nasa-alayha. It is the religion of fitra. And the translators will give their translation, their word for English word for fitra. But let us find out the word for fitra. God says of himself that he is the one who fatara samawati wal ard. From the same word. The same word is used as a verb. He is the one, the factor of samawati wal earth. He is the one who originated the skies and the earth, or the heavens and the earth. Factor of samawati wal earth. And it says that God in the whole Quran, that he is the father. El father. He is the originator. And God puts the question to man, who wants to question what God revealed, and wants to question his messenger Muhammad. I want to question what Muhammad is teaching them. They only question God. Why don't you question your own creation? You question God and neglect or fail to question your own creation. How did you get here? You're in the dark. You don't know. You only have guesses. You only have theories. You have no concrete proof. So you don't even know your own beginning, and you're going to question how God began. And you have questions for God, and you forget to question your own creation. It is wonderful. So plain, so logical, so rational, so factual. Now, I know you perhaps have never heard an expression like that, so factual. I said that for some of my friends, too, who used to put all their faith in the actual facts. And they were actually lacking in facts. Praise be to Allah. We are on the point, we are on the road to the conclusion. Be patient with me. This is not every day. This is one day in the year that we gather like this together. On Jummah day. Allahu Akbar. Yes. So Al-Islam is given to us from God as Deen al-Fitra. And now we know something about this word. We know something about its meaning. It has to do with original. It has to do with something that occurred for the first time. And God says, the one who made creation for the first time, only that God, only that one is God, who is able to repeat his creation. I've seen little children do something that caught your attention. Say, wow. And sometimes it's so marvelous, you say, can you do that again? And the little child is so proud of that feat that he accomplished. Yeah, you want to see me? Yeah. Right away, he's doing it again. Sometimes it's so wonderful, you want him to do it for the third time. Praise be to Allah. So Allah says, the God who brought creation about for the first time, that's God, and he is able to bring it about again. So we had lost our original creation. Adam was created originally by God, firstly by God, and Adam's creation was new. There had never been a creation like his before. And it was perfect. Nothing was wrong with it. It was perfect. In Christian theology, they give the being or the image of Adam when he was created before the serpent, before the shaitan or the serpent deceived him. They give the description of Adam as a bright, shining creature. Say he was a bright, shining creature. This is Christian theology. A bright, shining creature, or creation. He was perfect. That's what Christian theology says of him. He was perfect. The imperfection happened. It was brought out, pardon me, what seemed to be an imperfection was brought out by the seducer. The subtle Satan, or Shaitan, in our language, Islamic language, Shaitan. And the learned in their religious knowledge, they argued about these issues. Don't think that something was settled right away and everything we got today in Bible was decided at one time. They went for centuries trying to come to conclusions on what is man's nature, what is the person of man, and what is the person of God. What is the identity of man? What is the identity of God? They went for centuries trying to decide that. And finally, those with more power, more authority, more political might imposed their judgment on the others. This is the history of this debate that lasted for centuries. It lasted for centuries. The Quran comes to settle it, because it ain't settled yet. There are some Christian small numbers, there are small groups, that differ with the majority. They have a very different idea. They have an idea very close, in fact, it's almost exactly what Muslims believe about the identity of the man and the identity of God. Very close to what the Muslims believe. In fact, I'm so close, I don't see why we can't say it's the same. It's the same as far as I can see. So all Christians don't even believe it the way most of the Christians believe. And this is no new thing. Never did they all believe the way most of the Christians believe. There were always a group that didn't go along with what became the popular idea or the popular view. This is very important. Very important. The cost of your state of mind, too, is very important. You're the product of a Christian environment. And then after that, you're the product of Islamic teaching. But you are still the product, you're the one product of a Christian environment, and you've never had the opportunity to isolate yourself from the Christian environment to get healed all the way. I hope you're understanding me. I'm very sincere, and I'm your friend and your brother. Medina al-Munawwara. So Islam comes now, and God introduces the religion. And he uses the term in the Arabic language for religion, deen. And he says of Islam, al-Islam probably in the Quran, that I have chosen for you this day al-Islam as a religion. Deenan means in the place of the religion. Whatever you thought religion was, this I'm giving you this. This is what you should have. That's what it means. I'm giving you this religion. I'm giving you this al-Islam. I'm giving you this al-Islam as a religion. You want religion? This is what I'm giving you. So it can fulfill the religion, the need for a religion in your life. You have a need for a religion in your life, I'm giving you al-Islam. That's what the expression means in Arabic, the grammatical expression means in Arabic. That you have, you want a religion in your life. You want a religion. I'm giving you, God said, I'm giving you al-Islam for a religion, for your religious need in your life. Deenan. And he says of that religion, that it is your religion of the original pattern and nature. The religion of the original pattern and nature. Then he says of the religion of Jesus, it is the one that he patterned man upon. The one that he patterned man upon. So here is an ideological pattern. Here is a spiritual pattern. A spiritual pattern and an ideological pattern. A spiritual life pattern and a literal life pattern. Both in spirit and in text. Both in spirit and in idea. Both in spirit and in language that can be communicated to one another. You can take this and communicate it to one another. It has its own logic. It has its own logic. And I want to pattern your human life. I want you to now accept that I pattern your human life, your spirit, and your mind, and your intelligence that you use to communicate to others. I want to pattern that now upon this original pattern that I have put in this religion. So here God is the creator of everything, patterning for us, making a pattern, giving us a pattern, giving us a design that is a religion in spirit and in letter. He's given us that, and he's telling us that if we accept it, it's going to bring our life to conform to its pattern. If you accept that Islam, as God has given it to us, in the Quran, and in Muhammad's example, the perfect man, the perfect human, it's going to bring your life to conform to that pattern. That's in the Quran. That's in the Prophet's demonstration of the Quran. He demonstrated how we should live Quran. Okay, so if you accept al-Islam, that pattern that God put in the al-Islam is going to be communicated to your life. And it's going to be infused into your life. It's going to become the pattern of your life. Then you'll be returned to the bright Adam, to the shiny Adam that God created fit for heaven.
put him in the garden of paradise.
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. But you'll even be more than that now, because now I have given you the model Muhammad as your human model. You lost Adam. Peace be upon the Prophet. You lost him. But now Muhammad lives again. He lives in history. Oh, how can you say he lived again? He lived with Allah first and then with us. Now Muhammad lives again, and he's a model for all people. And he's a living model in history. You can read of him. You can come to know him in reality. And he is enough as a model for all mankind. Kafatan lil alamin. Kafatan lil nas. All of them. That's what God said in the Quran. That he is enough as a model for all human beings. Praise be to Allah. So now after we understand the Prophet, then we can understand al-Islam. Why did God give us al-Islam? Why we had to have Islam or al-Islam? Because our very nature, God created this nature. Nobody else did it. No other thing did it. God himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created this human person. He created it. And this human person, by virtue of that fact or reality, has a hunger in himself to be with his God. To be with his God who created him. Not like you sitting with brother there, side by side, physically, adjacent to each other. But more important than that, he has to be with his God in his spirit. He has to be with his God in his thinking. He has to be with his God in his human constitution. He has to be pleased that his spirit, his mind, his actions are pleasing before his maker. That's in his nature to want to be what his maker created him to be. So that's asking for something from God that the world can't give him. The same God that gave him his being must give him his lifestyle. His lifestyle, his way of living, his mode of behavior, etc. Not that he's not going to deviate from it sometimes. He's a rational being. He knows how to readjust. He can reason and think and reason and readjust. Praise be to Allah. So God gives the al-Islam, the religion. God gives that to answer the need in every human person for fulfillment of human essence. For the fulfillment of human essence. That's why God uses the term, the language, excellence. Says, say his model is usratan hasanatan. Usratan hasanatan. Excellent, the excellent model. Excellent model. Usratan hasanatan. Excellent model. So that's the requirement in our life for growth and improvement on our own selves, on our own thinking and behavior and spirit, etc., until in our souls we say, I like myself. Not in the mirror, looking at your hairstyle or your features, your physical features, but in the mirror that captures your soul. And you look in there and you say, I like myself. You can't look in there and say you please. You might say you like yourself, but you can't look in there if you're a real, truthful person. You can't look in the mirror that will show you your soul and say, I'm pleased with it, until you have pleased your God. Not your false God, the God that created you for the first time when you put the first human being on this earth. It must be understood also that the human being, the human creation, we are created to live our life to the fullest in community settings. In community settings, there is no way for us to live our life to the fullest unless we have that community setting. We are individuals to ourselves and away from everybody. We are individuals. But in our nature, in our need, in our spirit, we are always plural. No person can live only with him or herself, shedding out of their mind and out of their concern and out of their sensitivity and out of their conscience, everybody but self. The mystics, they try. And they go through the exercise for annihilation. Annihilation. To annihilate everything, including themselves. All they do is go into a trance. And they think they went to zero. To nothing. And they say they discover themselves all over again with God. But we know they didn't discover progress for us on this earth. So that tells us we shouldn't take that road to wherever we went. So I say they discovered another state of trance. Just an unknown state of trance. They found a depth for trance, for being in a trance that no other creature discovered. Medina Munawwara, the city of the light, Medina Munawwara, the city of the light, is the model. So we are left not only Muhammad the person as a model for us, we are also left the first community, the community of followers of Muslims under the Prophet's leadership. Peace be upon him. We also have that as a model. And God speaks of that as a model. He said, your community, as you're with you as a community, you are a witness for God in the world. In the world. So Muhammad is our model, and he's a witness for us and mankind in the world. But the ummah, the order, the society order that he established under God, with the Quran, the word of God, that community, that society is also a model society in the world as a witness for God. This is the way God wants you to live in community. This is the way God wants you to live as a society, the Ummah of Al-Islam. And God says to that Ummah, you are the best Ummah, the best community, evolved for the good of all people. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat lin-nas. You are the best society, are the best of the society. You are the best community, are the best of the communities, evolved, brought out, developed out of the world for all people. A man like Moses, a man like Moses, peace be on the Prophet. Say of this religion, but says that I have this day perfected for you, all people, your religion. Your religion. Your religion. Think. For surely, thinking profits you. Bring great benefit. Huh? In Nepa, Kishikra. For surely, thinking brings profits. Benefits you greatly. Think! God said, you are the best community brought out for all people. And then God said to the religious, this day perfected for you your religion. God made it perfect. Same God that made a perfect human model for us is telling us now that now I've made religion perfect for you. This day I have perfected for you your religion. Who is God speaking to? When he says, I have this day perfected for you, not one person. Some of you can't read Arabic. So I'm letting you know that you is many. God is saying, you many. This day I have perfected for you, boom, many, you, many of you. All of you, your religion. So what is God saying? The same God that created you to have a need for religion is saying to you, you could not perfect for you your own religion because you yourself didn't perfect human nature. God perfected human nature. And the same God that perfected human nature and gave you a perfect human model is the God that's perfecting for you your religion to go with that human model. And now your faith, your future, your destiny, your faith as a human being wanting to get into the best human possibilities for your life is no more dependent upon a human person. Not solely upon a human person anymore. I'm giving you now the religion of originality. I'm giving you the religion of the original origin, straight from God, pure, unaffected by anything but God. I'm giving to you that, and if you will accept that, now that's going to bring your life to conform to it. And the perfect human being can be recreated over and over again by the perfect religious pattern. By the perfect religious pattern. Upon the perfect religious pattern, God is now creating perfect human beings over and over again. Multiplying them with the germ of his word. And having left us lonely, Muhammad lives with us. In us and with us, Muhammad lives. And his picture is clear to us in the Quran, in the Word of God, and in the history that has been passed on down to us by the scribes, the companions, the faithful followers of Muhammad the Prophet. Praise be to Allah. This is wonderful. If you're following me, you're in the light. Attention on Muhammad, the model of perfect human being, perfect human model. We have put our attention on Al-Islam as the religion of all people. That's what it means when God says, this day I have perfected for you your religion. God is saying to every human being on this earth, then, before, and yet to come, God is saying to them, I am giving you the religion that your human soul and nature calls for. I created you to have the hunger for this religion. You can't get it by yourself. There's no way possible for you to get it. It's not in the power of a human mortal to get this. God had to reveal it to your nature and satisfy your nature, the best of your nature, with this religion of originality, this religion of the origin. And the Quran is a religion for all mankind. Why would he tell him that if he was just talking to Muslims? When he was saying that this day I have perfected for you your religion. He's speaking to your human soul that he's created. He's speaking to the you that he made for the first time. And he's saying to that nature in you and to that person in you, to that essence in you, to that originality in you that he made, he's saying to that, now I perfect for you your religion. And I have completed my favor on you. There is nothing else that you need to ask God for. He revealed the Quran. He found the model that he created, the bearer, the burden of the message, to carry the message, the perfect model for all people, for all the world, the mercy to all the world. He found him. He got him. And he gave him that message. He was up in the cave, lonely, grieving over the condition of his people down there in the plains of Saudi Arabia, in the plains of Mecca. He was grieving over that condition. He went up in the mountains to be with God, to find whatever God was. He didn't even know God. Muhammad didn't know God when he went up in the mountains. Knew nothing about God. But he knew there was something higher and bigger than the world. So he went up there to find it. And God spoke to him. And then gave him the guidance that his soul that God created was hungering for, starving for, and qualified him to be leader, liberator for the whole world, teacher for all the world, mercy to all people in all worlds. Yes. So now, with our attention on those two, let us go now to the Quran. Attention on the Quran. God says, this book, who then in this book is guidance for the people, all people in that, guidance for all people. Who then in that? But it is not only guidance. It is not only guidance. The world is full of guidance. Each people, each got their guidance. Each nation has its guidance. Each individual has his or her guidance. So the world is full of guidance. And the guidance was here in the New Testament. The guidance was there. The guidance was in the Old Testament, and guidance came behind guidance. Like prophets came after prophets. Guidance after guidance. But people looked at it and they came up with their own idea of it. And filled the world up full of different guidance. Guidance that are varying with each other. Guidance that are conflicting with each other. So it's not just enough to give guidance. We have a problem. This group has this guidance. And they say of our guidance that our guidance is not the genuine one. Our guidance is not the authentic one. And another group has that guidance. And they say to the group that just condemned us, that group, too, doesn't have the right guidance. So it's not enough just to give us guidance. We need a way to argue with others that got guidance. We need a way to prove our point to others that claim that guidance is the guidance, too. So God says, Allah says, that this is guidance. Who then in that for every human person? Well, they imagine min al huda wal furqan. Not only is it guidance, but it is the rule. It is the logic. It is the rule for debating to prove what is guidance and what is not guidance. Allahu Akbar.
هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Praise be to Allah. Now, with so much said about the human person in his or her most excellent form, made by God, made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he. And now that we've also had something to say, much to say really, about Al-Islam. Few words, but a lot to say. Now that we've had our say about Al-Islam as the religion answering the need in the perfect human soul. And we've had something to say about the Quran now. God says of the Quran, because this book is so valuable, this book is so valuable, this book is a must for the salvation of the world. Without this book, the world cannot have salvation. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not adding, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not stretching. I'm saying this very modestly. This book is a must. This book is a must if human beings and the human community of the world is to be saved. This book is salvation. This book is the life. This book is the life. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah. Come living. For what? For prayer. For prayer. You call to prayer and you're told to come alive. Just like a magician or magic, a magi or something, saying to the dead, come living again. Come to life again. And come pray with us. Come pray with us. So where is the food for your life? The prayer is the food for your life. You're being called to prayer because the prayer is the food for your life. The prayer itself is the food for your life, and the food for your life is the life. The food for your life is the life that God wants you to come into. It is the life. And it has been prescribed or it has been put together. The diet was made, or the menu was put together specifically for your original soul and your need as a human being in this world. Yes. So you're told to come alive. Wake up, come alive. Dead. Rise. Be alive. Be alive. Dead. Get up and be alive. Come to Salat. And what is the Salat? The Quran. The Quran. When you come to the Salat, you're going to hear the Quran. One time in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet recited the whole Quran in one night. In one night. The whole of the Quran in one night. What is that Quran? The life. What was they hearing? The life. So what is your call to come to that? Come to the life. The Quran is the life. The Quran is the life of the world. The Quran is the light, L-I-G-H-T, of the world. The Quran, hear me? Yes. The Quran is the salvation of the world, for the whole world. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word came in the world and dwelt among men. And dwelt among men. Not flesh, the Word! And the Word is the light, and the Word is food, and the Word is drink, and the Word is salvation. Allahu Akbar. Huda lin nas, wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan.
Praise be to Allah.
It is guidance for all people. And it is a rule for making arguments and judgments, deciding what is guidance and what is not.
Praise be to Allah.
Now, if you all are with me in the light, you can come with me to New Africa. It's gonna outshine Timbuktu. It's gonna outshine Mali, Songhai. It's gonna be the brightest light coming up from black coals that you've ever seen in the history of man. Because it is going to be a light after the light of Medina Munawwara under the greatest human person ever on walk the face of this earth, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it's going to be the brightest light and the cleanest light, the most perfect light that ever was shined on this part of the world, I guarantee it. And what are we going to have there or here in New Medina? This is a good place to start right here too, in Newark, in the Meadowlands, in Jersey. Good place. Newark, let's say that from Newark to New Africa. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. All you need is enough political numbers. All you need is enough political numbers and enough financial strength. And enough human excellence, and this nook can be renamed New Africa. Not that that's not that's necessary, because just like New Jerusalem is not a physical piece of geography, New Africa is not a physical, necessarily a physical piece of geography. New Africa is any place, like one learned modern day leader from the, in the outside, outside of America, he said that anywhere you can establish Islam is Islamic territory. So anywhere we can establish New Africa, this vision we have of New Africa in America, it will be New Africa territory, and it will be Islamic territory. Because New Africa for us is a new chance to establish Al-Islam with our own hands. With our own hands. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes. We must establish our community life with our own hands. Not somebody else's hands. Our own hands. And Allah is with us to do it. I guarantee that. Allah is with us to do it. Allah is with me to do what I've done. Allah is with me now. And that's enough evidence for me that Allah is going to be with me later. And we are going to be very successful. Very successful. There's something missing in our soul. The soul of a community man. And once our brothers from overseas come and live here with us in America, they're going to have the same hunger come into their soul if it's not there already. As Muslims, we can't be satisfied in our soul until we establish community life on a piece of geography. Physical piece of geography in these United States of America. So I'm not speaking only to you. I'm speaking to our Pakistani brothers. I'm speaking to our Indian brothers. I'm speaking to our African brothers. I'm speaking to our Arab brothers. I'm speaking to our Iranian brothers. I'm speaking to all Muslims in America. This is the direction that Imam W. Muhammad suggests for you. You cannot fulfill your religious life in America until you have a piece of geography, a physical piece of land. And your own mosque and your school and your hospital
your clinic, your businesses, your bank, your neighborhood must be managed by you. And you must call the time for Adan on your job. You must regulate the industry to accommodate our spiritual life. No one else can do it for us. God, when he prescribed for us Islam, he put us in a position where we cannot satisfy the need of our soul until we satisfy the obligation that he gave to us from the hand of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligation to establish the Ummah of Islam on a physical piece of this earth. It doesn't mean that we have to challenge the government or do away with the government or go to war with anybody. No, we're going to peace. We're going to P-E-A-C-E. We're going to peace with the establishment. But we are going to insist upon having the freedom to build a model community so that the establishment will have the opportunity to look at what an Islamic community really should be and really is and decide whether it want to continue with life as it has it or whether it want to adopt Islamic life for itself. This world won't have a choice until we present the excellent societal life that God has revealed in the Quran for us and in Muhammad's example. So I'm motivated by so many strong interests. Not only personal, I have a personal one too. Every one of us have a personal motivation. We don't want to meet our maker. If we don't know it in our mind, our heart know it, our soul know it, that we don't want to go to our maker. We don't want to see the judgment and haven't done anything to make God say, welcome, welcome in my presence, fine creature that I made. No, we don't want that. So all of us have a personal need, pushing us, motivating us. But as a Muslim community, the biggest motivation should be to have the life in totality, to have the life in completion that God wants for us. And he wants us to not to be shining Muslim individual models. He wants us to be also, and more importantly, a shining Muslim plural model, collective model, societal model, community model. Praise be to Allah. And that's our goal, that's our destiny. That's our commitment. When God said that his covenant was on these people, and he took it off those people, and he put it on other people, and he says to the Muslim, now I'm putting a covenant with you. He's saying that my covenant is with you, and you are obligated to establish Islamic community life on this earth. Muhammad fulfilled his obligation, as did Prophet Abraham. Muhammad fulfilled his obligation. He left us with a community model on this earth. That was just not taken. And Salat, there was the five structures of Islam, testimony to the one God and to his messenger, and with Salat, worship, prayer, and there was the caste system, economic system. The blueprint for the economic system of Muslim society, the caste. And then there was the fasting, song, restraint. And then there was Hajj pilgrimage for the international community to realize and keep its sense of unity and direction. But there was also private enterprise. There was private enterprise, economic system, political system, health care, etc. Education, science, industry. Given the time that this occurred, all of that was existing and really in a more impressive model than to be found anywhere on earth. That's what was established under Muhammad the Prophet. Think about that. So we want to have the opportunity to do the same. I do believe the reason why some of these Muslim nations that have almost 100% Muslims can't really free themselves can't really free themselves to be the excellent Muslim people and community that Allah guided us to be with this Quran and Muhammad as the example, human model, because this world is challenged by a new idea that have borrowed a lot from Islam, borrowed a lot from the Quran, borrowed a lot from Muhammad's leadership. And it threatens to become the dominant order for every society, for every nation. I'm talking about America's idea of freedom and democracy. It's so threatening, it's so powerful, because, as I say again, because it borrowed a lot from Al-Islam, from Quran, from Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. It borrowed a lot from some of the great statesmen in the early days of the Ummah. This country has borrowed a lot. So it's using it. It's using that great strength, that great power, the great vision, great idea. It's using it. It was that great light that was in our religion that enabled their great thinkers to unlock the mystery, the political mystery that is in the mystery of Christ Jesus as is given in the Bible, New Testament. So they were able to unlock it with the keys that the Quran brought and that Muhammad's model brought. They were able to unlock the mystery and began to apply the knowledge to get the great destiny. So we are not challenging, and believe me, the whole Muslim world, their presidents, their emirs, their kings, their queens, if they would listen to what I'm saying, they will get a knowledge that can help them a lot. So these learned in the Christian political order, they were able to unlock the mystery. And now they're following what they identify as the light of Christ, the light of Christ Jesus. But how did they get that light that they call the light of Christ Jesus? How did they discover it? With the key that came when Muhammad received Quran and demonstrated Islamic life on this earth. That's how they got it. They got it, and now no other ideology stands against them. The only ideology that can stand against them and really show them up is the Al-Islam found in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. That's the only ideology, that's the only light that can meet the challenge from democracy, American democracy, and show up flaws in it, show up defects in it, show up shortcomings in it. But only the Quran and only the pure life of Muhammad can do that. Nothing else can. And I believe Allah has chosen us in America to bring that challenge to the world. And we're going to do it. If not in our generation, it is too potent to die when we fall dead. It's going to live in our children. And it'll be stronger in our children than it is in us now. Allah is with us, highly glorified is He. So I hope I've made my point very clear. I don't want to talk to you about how we're going to have a banking system and what we need to create a banking system. I don't want to talk to you about how we're going to run the town and how the electricity is going to be supplied and all that. That's unnecessary. You can get that from any school. Or as it said in the Quran, go to any Egypt. Go to any Egypt. What I'm giving to you, it will put you in the situation to make the best benefit of everything. What God has blessed me with puts you in the best situation to make the best benefit of everything. So we don't worry about these disciplines in the academic circles, or the disciplines in the political circles, or the needs of industry. We don't worry about those things. We got people who who are going to be motivated by this message, and they're going to be honor students and the leading students because of the great shock, the great injection of a hormone or whatever they ask for to turn them on and shoot them up and make them energetic and want to go far. What this serum I got here, man, can't be matched. No, ain't nothing anywhere in the world to match it, because it's coming from the Word of God, the Quran, and from Muhammad's life. And if you take it, you're going to be able to compete with this world in secular quarters and in spiritual quarters. Nobody will be able to make you ashamed of yourself or ashamed of your performance. If you just believe and go forward. Believe and go forward. Faith is so important. Muhammad is described as a caller to faith. Say, the words of God revealed in the Quran, say, the people that witness him, they say, we have heard a caller in the world calling to faith, saying, believe in your Lord. And what does it mean? Not the Lord of London. Not the Lord in the sense that you heard Lord. No. The Quran brings a new definition for Lord. Lord means the one who has first rights to you because he made you. And then he has the first rights to oversee your development because he made you. And he has committed himself to oversee your development if you just believe in him. He will oversee your development, and he will be with you, walking with you, riding with you, flying with you, jumping through space with you, standing still with you. Whatever you're doing, he'll be with you, watching over your state of being and watching over your future direction, your future road that you're on, protecting you for the destiny and helping your development, helping your growth right along so that you reach the destiny and not fail. That's the God. For that meaning, it says Rabb. Rabb. The Rabb of the world. Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of all the world. Said he didn't just do this for the first. This ain't the first time that God's doing this. I did this for everybody. I did this for all the world. That's what God is saying. I'm the one who created them from nothing, and I'm the one that stayed with them until they developed. And I'm still their Lord if they'll just turn to me. I will help them come to their best state, and I'll help them progress, develop until they reach the perfection I want them to come to. As a person and as a community. That's what God wants us to know. Praise be to Allah. And Allah says in the Quran, and who's the best to judge or to take care of his creatures? The one who just came about, or the one who's been here for all time? Isn't that something to think about? Who is the best to take care of his creatures? The one who's just come about, or the one that has been here for all time? The eternal. Never was born. Never died. Never came into existence. Never changes. That's the God. As summoned, the eternal, who never was born, never came into existence, and does not die, and does not change. No change come over him. Nothing can bring about change in God. So I hope we have accomplished something here on this Jumu'ah day in Meadowlands, New Jersey. I hope that you will keep dear to yourselves what you have gotten from this khutbah. It's help to you and to me to get us to the destiny in America. We have a destination you want to reach. In America. New Africa. It won't be necessarily a city, our town, our state, is a vision that we want to implement. It's a knowledge that we want to use. It's a logic that we want to apply. It's a life that we want to live. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There's much I would like to say to you, but I've already gone way over time, past the time for Jummah. So inshallah, next year, we'll meet again, and we'll have the khutbah, and we will be helped by God to carry this further. You know, I have never wanted the spiritual life of most people that I have observed. I haven't. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about as a society or as groups. I haven't seen any religious group, any group of people that I wanted to take on their spirituality. And for that reason, I haven't liked pointing you to spiritual life. I haven't liked doing it. And I guess some of that is because of the conditioning that we all experience when we follow the Nation of Islam. But I have come up now with a satisfying understanding of just what is human spiritual life. And I feel very comfortable with it. And I know that spiritual life is the real life. It's the true life. It's the greater life. So don't you put too much value on our political aims or our economic aims or our political aims or economic aims or community aims and forget that the spiritual value is the highest, the best, the most enduring. And in the end, down the road, when we face our God in the judgment, it will prove to be the most rewarding. Thank you very much. Allahu Akbar. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, dear Muslim, السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Praise and thanks is for Allah, the one God, the Lord sustainer of all worlds. We are having at this convention some products that our collective business effort has brought us to acquire, and it's really the vision for our financial strength in the future. To strengthen the community financially in the future. There's much to say to you about that, but we will choose to talk to you about that another time, because the day of Jummah Day is not for presenting business or financial plans. It's to really put the whole life before us and set us on a foundation that will never fail. And that's the foundation of faith in God and faith in Muhammad, his human model, for us. Or we may say, to put us on the foundation of right-mindedness, of conscience, as defined in Islam, taqwa, the foundation of taqwa. That's the purpose of the Jummah. But to keep us in touch with the whole life, the community life, that puts into one focus the life that Allah wants for us in its totality, in its wholeness, community life. That's why God says in the surah titled Jummah, when the Jummah prayer is concluded, when you have finished the Jummah, then return to the avenue of business or your life activity. Go back to your life activity. Go back to your business. So Muslims don't split the life. Allah doesn't want Muslims to see the life split. The life is whole and continuous. We're to see the continuity of life as God wants it for us. Continuity. It is continuous. The spiritual is continuous, and the physical is continuous. The political is continuous. Who is the head of our political order? God. Allah. Is that a theocracy? No. I said no. It is not a theocracy. It's a human community. It's not a theocracy. Is the rule divine? Yes. The rule is the word of God. The rule is the word of God. The Quran. And the human model, Muhammad, carried it out as it should be carried out. Yes. But is it a theocracy? Again, I say no. It's not a theocracy. It's shura. Shura bainahum. The Islamic language for true democracy. For want of a better term, I'm saying democracy. It's the Quran and Islam, Muhammad. Shura comes from God. So the order is the order that was established by Muhammad, and it is shura. It's not a theocracy. No, indeed. It's not a theocracy. You know, they say theocracy really means, they say, under God's rules, right? But when you study the history of theocracy, you get more than God's rules. You get man claiming God's power. So, you know, I know there's a little technicality there. That's why I come outside and explain a little further to you. Yes. So Islam does not have a theocracy. We don't want a theocracy. Theocracy is oppressive. Pharaoh had a theocracy. Yeah, Pharaoh. The oppressive Pharaoh, he had a theocracy. We don't want any theocracy. We want shura, bainahum. Consultation, respecting each person who's knowledgeable and a good pastor, to sit at the table and contribute to the discussion and also to the decision or to the resolutions or conclusion with equal respect coming to each one of them sitting at the table. That's shura. That's Islamic democracy. So that's what we want. But remember, don't go out, listen to, and don't go out yourself and say, the imam now is gone wrong now. He's bringing business back into the picture. He shouldn't talk business. He should just talk, well, I don't know what you call it, dawah.
You got your own language. You just do thou or something. Or stick with this or stick with that. I don't know. You go back and read the history of Muhammad the Prophet. He's the one that we're supposed to follow. His lead is the lead we follow. And he didn't stick to just dhikrs and leading prayers. He lived the whole life, and he supported the whole life, and he was encouraging the business people, and he provided for the business people to have their freedom and their productive lives. So understand that. And whatever they give, he accepted. But he was very reasonable man. He didn't tell any man, turn your business over to the mosque. No, he didn't do that. So let us understand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Let us understand and follow the light. Walk in the light, not in darkness. Thank you very much. So we conclude the khutbah today, and we know we overstretched. We stretched the time, but I think it was worth it to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish at this time. And please, please, Brother Imam, don't pattern your khutbahs after this one. This is a once-in-a-year khutbah that I intend to shorten and make it just one-tenth this long next year. All right? So yours should be one-tenth the length of this one, no more. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum again. الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد Dear beloved Muslims, we conclude this and we make a dua. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Our Lord, do not permit our hearts to deviate, to go wrong after you have made us, guided us rightly. And give us from this world good, mercy from yourself. Surely you are the grantor. Amen.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله